Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Samakai, can you hear me?
Good afternoon, Zama. Good afternoon to our listeners.
Yes, good afternoon to you, Pastor. Are you well?
I am well, surviving. The Lord is gracious.
Indeed, the Lord is gracious. Pastor, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're concluding this conversation. We've spoken about the role of Holy Spirit's role in creation, as well as influencing or inspiring writing of the Scripture. Now, we want to hear now about how the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of men since Christ's ascension back into heaven. How do we have any rather biblical examples of His work in human vessels?
Thank you so much. I think yesterday I wasn't able to be available, and we should have asked the role of the Spirit in the life and the ministry of Christ Himself. And let me just put a statement. When you look at the life and the ministry of Christ, you realize that when Christ came to save mankind, the Holy Spirit was His constant companion in everything that He did, from the time that Jesus Christ was a child, from the time He was growing up. You could see the influence of the Spirit upon His life, guiding Him to do His work up until the time when He died and resurrected. And so the thing you see now, when Jesus Christ is living, He uttered words and says, "It is expedient that I go, because if I don't go, the Spirit will not come."
Yeah.
And He said, "When I go, I'll ask my Father to send you another comforter." Now, what Jesus was essentially saying was, there was a limitation He had by virtue of Him taking up the human flesh. So if Jesus is in Jerusalem, He can't be in Judea at the same time. He can't be in South Africa. He can't be in... And so He says, "I have done my part, which is to die for mankind, but with me now being human, the God-man, I am limited in terms of how I can minister to you. Therefore, I will send you the Spirit," which is another comforter, "to continue with what I have begun." And the role of the Spirit in the life of a Christian is very evident, because first and foremost, Jesus died that we should be able to be saved. But how does one get to a point where they need to be saved? You need to realize, number one, that you are a sinner. And to realize that you are a sinner, the Bible says the Spirit of God convicts us of sin. And how do you know when you are doing something that is not in line with the Bible? There is that still small voice whispers to you, and it tells you what you're about to do is not right. That's the Spirit of God trying to inform you that what you are doing is not right. When you do something wrong, you have this sense of guilt. Where is it coming from? It is coming from the fact that the Spirit of God is there to convict us of sin. And when it convicts us of sin, it leads us to repentance, which is what helps us then enable ourselves and partake of the blessing of salvation that Jesus Christ offered. And so essentially, when you look at the role that the Spirit plays in the life of a Christian, I like to use this analogy. When you, as Zama, my friend, you decide to adopt a child, the law says adopting a child is basically you getting someone, a child who is not your biological child, either from your relatives or just from the streets or wherever you pick them. But when you adopt them, you have to undergo through the process of the law and satisfy the demands of the law. And then you adopt that child legally. And when you adopt them legally as your child, then that particular child, together with your biological child, at the face of the law, they have equal rights. In an event that I die, my biological child and the adopted one have equal rights and equal shares of whatever it is, estate that I have left behind. Now, that is the principle you find running through Scripture. And the book of Ephesians tells us to say, when Jesus Christ died for us, we are now adopted as sons and daughters of God. Essentially, it simply means we who were sons and daughters of the devil by choice, We are adopted back as sons and daughters of God. Now, when you go to the village in Mpumalanga or wherever, you get a child who has never lived in Pretoria, and you bring them in Pretoria, they have never lived with you. The truth of the matter is that even when you have satisfied the demands of the law and you have adopted that child, that particular child will need to take time to acclimatize how they should live in your house and how they should, what kind of manners are acceptable within the house of their new father. And that is exactly what we see now, the role that the Spirit plays in the life of the Christian. Once he leads us through the process of repentance, and now we are forgiven by God and we adopted as sons and daughters of God, it is the role of the Spirit of God to help in nurturing us to become like Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says he helps us to be conformed into the image of his Son. How does that happen? It's very clear that in times when I am going through difficult moments of life, the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Spirit of God helps us and strengthens us during the times of trials and the times of need. And in those moments, the Spirit is what sustains us through difficult patches of our lives as Christians. But not only that, Galatians 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture, tells us the works of the flesh as well as what happens when one is possessed by the Spirit of God. In there, you realize that the Spirit is what helps in building the character of us as children of God. For me to become a child of God, not just by claiming that I'm a child of God, but by the very essence and the life to show that really I'm a child of God, to live according to the will of God, I need the Spirit of God in order to help me, to run me through, to inculcate principles of heaven in me, so that ultimately what Jesus Christ has accomplished by serving, which was justification, then the process, the Spirit now comes to complete the process of sanctification in the life of a Christian, so that the life of a Christian becomes the life that Jesus Christ desires of all of us.
Beautiful stuff, Pastor. Now, how does the Spirit work from human to human in not so easy situations? So people are faced with difficult times, and they are praying to God for relief. Is there a way that the Spirit can or is involved?
In our petitions to God.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, when you look at times when I pray, oftentimes we ask things of God, sometimes out of what we think we need, out of what we want, but ultimately the Spirit of God aids us even in our prayers, by ensuring that, number one, we are helped in knowing exactly what we pray about to God. And there are moments, for instance, when you are burdened and you want to talk to God, and sometimes you can't even say anything. But then there's a songwriter who says, "Tears are a language that God understands."
Yep,
How does God really understand us? It is because the Spirit of God, which is in me, the Bible says, he will teach you to cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the Spirit helps me to talk to God as my Father.
Mm.
And even where language is limited, the Spirit of God is there to understand really what it is that I am asking for. So he is my constant companion, and he is the one who is in me. And when he is in me, then I have something greater than me that is divine, that then can be able to relate my challenges with what God is essentially, or what I am asking from God. So the Spirit, even when you look at the life of Christ himself, you realize that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's feeling the weight of sin, Jesus Christ cries to the Father and says, "Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." In other words, from his human point of view, his desire was that that cup should have passed from him. But how did he end up saying that not my will, but your will? It is because the Spirit of God was his constant companion, telling him to say, I know what you desire is this, but remember your life, you are here to glorify the name of your Father who is God. So even when it is heavy, you still have to submit to the will of your Father. So just like the Spirit was able to aid Jesus Christ, even in his prayer, the Spirit is also available to aid me in my prayer. As I talk to God, the Spirit is there to help me that I should ask properly from the Father so that my prayers should really be prayers that show that I am in need, but at the same time, I am willing to submit myself to the will and the desire of God for my life.
Beautiful stuff. Before we let you go, Pastor, how can we learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit speaks to us?
Like I mentioned, I think when I was beginning, the Spirit of always comes to us, and there are several ways that the Spirit can communicate. Jesus Christ said when he was here, when the Comforter shall come, he will bring to remembrance the things that I have taught you. In other words, part of the way that you can listen to the Spirit and recognize the Spirit is that there are things that Jesus Christ has taught us, which is the faith that we have. In moments when we need guidance from God, the Spirit can whisper to us and simply by telling us to say, you know what, child, what you're about to do is not right. Don't do this. That's the Spirit of God. That's still small voice. But besides that still small voice, there is also moments when the Spirit can remind you things God has taught us by reminding us of Scripture that can speak to the occasions and the. And so it is up to me to realize that the voice I am listening to is a voice of the Spirit, and I must take heed to the voice of the Spirit in my life, because what the Spirit is speaking is always in my interest. It is always to see to it that I live my life according to the will of God. So the best way really to recognize the Spirit and his biddings upon our lives is to pay particular attention, because God will never leave anyone without the aid of the Spirit. And that is why there is no one who can say, no, I can commit sin, I can do what I want without that still small voice, because the Spirit is always present, because his interest is to ensure that we live our lives according to the will of God. So pay particular attention to that still small voice. Pay attention to verses that come up in your mind when you're in time that what you need guidance from God. And when that voice comes, the plea is, do not just shut it down and say, no, I can't listen to this still small voice. Be grateful to God. I am thankful for the ministry of the Spirit in my life, and I will learn to listen to the voice. And listen, and the moment you obey and you listen, essentially what you're doing is you're obeying what God has said and you're obedient to God.
Beautiful stuff. Pastor, thank you so much for your time. Have a blessed weekend ahead.
Thank you so much, and thank you to our listeners.
Blessings, thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.